Good morning. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's day 331. We are in Judges chapter 2. I've been struggling with a head cold all week, and it's kind of moving down into my chest, so even more low bass tones in my voice now. So let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we look to His Word in Judges chapter 2. This morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this Lord's Day, where we can gather together with your people to worship you in spirit and in truth. We do pray that you be with us and that you teach us from your word today. Please write Judges 2 on our hearts. Help us to understand it with our minds. Help us to respond in faith and love and obedience. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 2. Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim. And he said, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you. But they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. As soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years, and they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned and as the Lord had sworn to them. And they were in terrible distress. Then the Lord raised up judges, who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever that judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said, because this people have transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in all the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not. So the Lord left those nations, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. Well, Judges chapter 2 really does set up as an introduction to the whole of the book of judges and the cycle that is going to be repeated again and again throughout this book. And that is that as soon as a great leader dies, as soon as a champion of the Lord, someone who is strong and bold and courageous and faithful and who's used by God to bring deliverance, as soon as that leader dies, the people very quickly and very easily forget because their hearts are never changed. They may be compelled into outward compliance by the force of this judge, the leader, the commander, but their hearts really aren't changed. And so as soon as that leader dies, they go astray. And that the process of going astray looks to have even begun a little bit here and there during the life of Joshua, in that the people were not faithful to drive out all of the inhabitants of the land as the Lord had told them to do. And as those inhabitants remained in the land, it was after the death of Joshua that the people began to serve other gods, which is exactly why the Lord told them to drive those people out of the land. So in the first section of this chapter, in verses 1 to 5, we have a confrontation of the people by God at Bochim. And he says to them, I'm not going to drive out all these people from before you because you're not, because you're not being faithful to follow after me and do the things that I told you to do. And they weep there. But there's weeping and there's weeping, right? There's repentance and there's repentance. There's sorrow and there's sorrow. As my mom used to say to me sometimes when I was a kid, she would say to me, you're not sorry. You're just sorry you got caught. And that's a difference between sorrow over sin and unfaithfulness and sorrow over the consequences of sin or the fallout from the unfaithfulness. And that's the difference here. We do see Israel throughout the book of Judges at times mourning, at times in distress, at times calling out to the Lord, begging for deliverance, even expressing sorrow over their sin and their faithlessness. But really what they're expressing sorrow over is the consequences of their sin, the disastrous outcome of their faithlessness. Their hearts are never truly changed, at least not of the people as a whole. There's always a holy remnant. There's always those who are God's elect and God's chosen, whose hearts do belong to the Lord. But this is a cycle that we see repeated throughout the book of Judges and arguably throughout the whole history of the nation of Israel. It's one of the blessings of the new covenant that's going to come in Jesus, that God changes the heart, takes out the heart of stone, puts in a heart of flesh, gives the Holy Spirit, so that all of those who truly know the Lord have tender hearts and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and are not externally compelled but are internally compelled to serve and obey the Lord. But that is largely missing. Not entirely, but it's largely missing from the Old Testament people of God. There are certain generations, like the generation of Joshua and the elders under him, where they are more faithful, but even that generation wasn't as faithful as they should be. God, in his love for his people, disciplines them. When God's people go astray after idols, God disciplines them. God still does this today, even under the new covenant. There are times when, even right now, for example, in America, the American church goes after idols of the world, goes after the gods of this age, whatever they may be, fame, wealth, political power, celebrity, influence, whatever, cultural conformity. Really, and going after other gods is another way of understanding cultural conformity to the point of being faithless to God, saying, I will be like the culture around me, I will not be like the word of God. And so even today, when the church is more concerned to conform to the culture than to conform to Christ, God disciplines, God gives us over, God removes our lampstand, is the language he uses in Revelation, because he wants to bring us to repentance. He wants to wake us up. And so this cycle is seen throughout this book, where the people will sort of wake up by the disciplinary consequences, and they will seek the Lord. And it will seem to be earnest, and during the lifetime of that judge, there will seem to be revival and repentance and renewal and there will be deliverance, and there will be a revival of the worship of God. But the hearts are never truly foundationally changed, and that should make us long for what is missing throughout the book of Judges, and we'll see this as Judges unfolds. But what's missing is a godly king, and specifically a godly king who will give the Holy Spirit to his people to change their hearts. And that we have in Christ, who is the chief judge and the godly King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who gives us the Holy Spirit sent forth from the Father through the Son to the hearts of his people, and who holds us in faithfulness from the inside. And so going through this, we should mourn if having the Holy Spirit and having the indwelling presence of God, we still are drawn after idols of the age. We should all the more be earnest to repent and to seek the Lord, because we have so much more. We have a greater king. We have a greater judge. We have a greater presence of God. We have a more full word of God. We have more blessings and more reason to be faithful to God. And so the book of Judges should be a great big wake-up call to the church to repent of cultural conformity and to pursue conformity to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our greater King, the great Judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit who lives in us and who unites us to Christ and who gives us access to you before your throne of grace. We thank you that we have fuller blessings and richer fulfillment of your promises and purposes living on this side of the cross. We thank you for those blessings, and we pray that we would not have our hearts drawn after the world, after political influence or cultural conformity or popularity or wealth or the American dream or whatever form of cultural conformity we're tempted to. May we be salt and light, distinct, different, influencing, not being influenced by the world. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Judges chapter 2. Tomorrow we'll be on 1 Timothy chapter 3. Have a blessed day in the Lord.